The content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors. Great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorn Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the oneliferadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Higher, baby. You're in the right place. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia and KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. How you doing today, Ronaldo?
I'm doing great. I'm hanging in there, you know.
You're hanging in there?
I'm hanging in there.
I am too. I am too, you know, and, yesterday, I wasn't feeling really well when I started the show. I don't know if anybody noticed that listens regularly, but I may have COVID-19. Okay, so someone that I work very closely with in my home tested positive. And so, I'll be working really hard for the for the next 2 or 3 weeks because I'm on my own here at Green Acres with my 22 animals. So I spent, after the show yesterday, I got a couple things done. And then my daughter and I basically raced around Dallas trying to find a place where we could both get tested. And my other daughter was going to meet us there as well. And I couldn't find a place that didn't have like a really, really long wait. And I thought it was more important to go home and get a good meal and get some rest, get to bed early. And so that's what I did. And then I started first thing this morning. We went downtown to the American Airlines Center. And Ronaldo, you should have seen the line. Oh my gosh. It was miles long. There were thousands of cars in line.
Wow.
Seriously. Yeah.
Wow.
So we jumped ship on that plan. Ooh, yeah. But I sound pretty good, right?
Oh, yeah. You sound great.
I think if I do have it. So I first started feeling like a little punchy Sunday morning. And I was like, oh, man, I don't feel good. But I did, partake in some wine over the weekend. And, just maybe burnt the candle at both ends a little bit. And so I thought, oh, it's just, I needed to play. Now I need to rest. And so I spent most of the day and Sunday after I got my housework done in bed, just resting, and then slept good Sunday night, got up and did the show yesterday morning. But then the other shoe dropped. And, I heard from my friend who said, yeah, I tested positive. And I haven't felt good since Saturday. And I was like, oh, boy. Wow. Mm. So, of course, I started upping my intake of supplements, which I always take supplements. I am like the supplement queen along with Sean Wells, the supplement king. I don't know any two people that take more supplements than he and I do. And I'm always reading about them, always researching, which, by the way, I've got so much information I want to get out to our listeners this morning. So I was reading about zinc supplementation and what you need to know if you're thinking about taking them. Mm-hmm. First of all, you can just Google it. I believe that the recommended daily allowance for women is only a small intake of zinc is necessary to reap the benefits. Currently, the recommended daily allowance, that's the RDA, for zinc in the United States is 8 milligrams a day for women and 11 milligrams a day for men. And it says that the element is naturally found in many different foods, but it's also available as a dietary supplement. Zinc is high in pumpkin seeds and things like that. So just Google it. I really do think that it's best to supplement and get it in your food both. But here's the interesting thing that I found. And I was telling a friend of mine this morning. So as far as zinc, with COVID-19, one of the one of the real big determining factors as to whether or not you have it is if you've lost your sense of taste and smell, mm-hmm. which I have not, by the way. I do have a little bit of swollen glands this morning, and I feel like my breathing's a little off, but that could be psychosomatic because I'm, you know, a little freaked out, just a little. I'm trying not to be, but, you know, you have to be smart about it and at least, you know, pay attention. And so, but this is what I found that I thought was interesting. It says, too little zinc can negatively impact your senses and appetite. According to one recent study, 35% to 45% of adults 60 and older had zinc intakes below the estimated average requirement. One set of side effects tied to zinc, listen to this, you guys, involves diminished taste and smell plus poor appetite. So if you do have no sense of taste or smell, it could be because your body... you know, needs some zinc.
Right.
And when you're sick, yeah, right? And so when you're sick, your body uses all your nutrients more to fight off, you know, whatever virus or disease that your, you know, your immune system is fighting. So just keep that in mind and be sure to take your zinc because it's important. And so is vitamin C. And I'm going to go to this article that, again, A Body and Mind in the Epic Times over the weekend, or I believe I actually got it in my mailbox on Monday, but it's the top five natural antiviral agents. And number one on the list is vitamin C, perhaps the most common advice given when a person starts to feel cold or flu coming on is take lots of vitamin C. And it's more than a myth or superstition. Vitamin C is clinically proven to both prevent and treat the common cold. And I'm going to go on to say a lot of other things. I'm reading some amazing books. Some of them I've already told you about, Curing the Incurable by Thomas Levy. He's a medical doctor, Thomas E. Levy. He's also a JD. And another book, Primal Panacea. The research and information in this book is astounding. I'll just say that. And everyone on the earth should buy a copy of this book to educate themselves about the power of vitamin C. As I said, Curing the Incurable. And he's got many, many more books. I bought mine on Amazon.com. I happen to be one of those people that loves Amazon and I support them because I'm not so sure I could have gotten through the last couple of months, especially with all the needs that I have with my animals and stuff.
Right.
Had I not had, you know, Amazon to deliver some of the products that I need. But what do you want to say about all that I just said?
What I didn't know is that zinc was high in pumpkin seeds. I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
And I found out that pumpkin seeds help fight parasites in your body.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the power of food, you are what you eat, you really are, and you are what you think. But as far as like fighting COVID-19 or any virus out there, even the flu virus, and you know, we've been talking about this for months nonstop pretty much on One Life Radio, but I want to go on to get the rest of this out because I'm not looking at the clock because I'm reading, but I think we're getting close to go to break here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, in about a minute and a half, but it says this, that an extra therapeutic dose of vitamin C taken at the onset of a cold shortened the length of the cold by a whopping 56% and significantly relieved symptoms, including chest pain, fever, and chills. And so on this list as well, besides zinc and vitamin C, is echinacea for upper respiratory tract infections, are a frequent diagnosis when someone seeks medical treatment for acute symptoms of the common cold. Echinacea, an herbal supplement commonly taken at the onset of cold symptoms, has considerable scientific evidence to support its widespread use for this purpose, both as a treatment for and a preventative of upper respiratory tract infections. On this list, too, is licorice. So this is a new one to me. I actually heard about licorice from Dr. Stephen Schwartz, who is the maker of Flunata, the inventor of Flunata. But the active ingredient in licorice is glycyrrhiza, is how you pronounce it. But so licorice has a deep and ancient tradition of use as herbal medicine by numerous cultures around the world. Licorice supplements may be labeled under its botanical name, like I said, glycyrrhiza. Glabra is the actual pronunciation. I know I'm butchering it, but just go along with me, everyone. Humor me. But that's the active compound that gives licorice its characteristic sweetness. And anecdotally, licorice has been credited with conferring benefits such as reducing inflammation, especially in the stomach, reducing symptoms of cough and bronchitis, lowering cholesterol and triglyceride levels, and even protecting against microbial and viral infections. So that's on this list, along with garlic, good old-fashioned garlic. You know, growing up Italian, my father, he never tapped the brakes on the garlic. We ate so much garlic when I was a kid. And I have to say, I rarely got sick. So, yeah. You know, things to think about if you're out there like me, questioning whether or not you have COVID-19. And of course, sleep is on that list. Be sure to get plenty of rest and drink lots of water and try not to stress out over it, right?
Exactly. It brings more fear. I think it brings on the sickness as well.
Absolutely. I do too, because yesterday I did freak out a little bit driving around, you know, like a mad woman trying to find a place. As I thought, my daughter was like, she's a teenager. Okay. So, you know, she was, you know, a little jacked up too. And I was like, oh my gosh. And at one point I was like, this is so crazy. I just want to go home and go to bed. If I have COVID-19, I certainly don't need this stress. I need to go home and lay down. So that's exactly what I did. And I fixed a nice dinner of fresh steamed broccoli with some pasta and veggie sausage and can't remember what else, but and I had a kombucha and all is well. So we'll see. I'll keep everybody updated. But we've got a fantastic show coming up today. Jared Ramirez is going to be talking about the cartilage collagen connection. He is the CEO of Enviromedical. Oh, and on that list, of course, I've been taking my deep immune health, my probiotics every single day. Keep that in mind. Probiotics are huge in the fight against any type of disease, especially an upper respiratory infection. It helps with your immune system tremendously, so keep that in mind. Well, we also have DeJuan Bennett coming up. Are the protests working? We're going to be talking about the racial violence that's been going on all over the country. It's subdued right now, but we're going to find out with DeJuan Bennett whether or not the protests are working. So stay tuned. We've got a fantastic show coming up. You are listening to One Life Radio. Of my youth, you guys. Welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we're waiting to get Jared Ramirez on the line. He is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. And right before the break, I gave Terraflora a shout out, and I'll tell you, so I found this company years ago, long before they were a sponsor, and I've been taking their products for years, and they are, without a doubt, one of the top, if not the top, probiotic out there in the world. Hands down, it's made right here in Texas, down in Austin, where their corporate headquarters are. And I highly recommend, if you're looking for a really good probiotic, to try Terraflora. I use their Deep Immune, and I think that's one of the reasons that my immune system has been so strong through this whole madness that the country has been through. So I encourage you to get it by either going to Enviromedica.com or by going to Amazon.com. They also sell it. And let me know when he's on the line, Ronaldo. Could you do that? Because I've got lots to share with you guys.
I'm trying to get him on. The line is still busy.
Okay. Well, you know what? I was talking earlier about the book Primal Panacea. It is a book by Thomas E. Levy. He's a medical doctor and JD. And here's what the book is about. It says, overwhelming documentation proves that high enough doses, this substance, and they're talking about vitamin C, high enough doses, this substance prevents and cures. We can't say cure, but it says it on the cover of this book. I'm not claiming that, just for the record. I'm reading what's on the cover of this book. Cancer, heart disease, infectious and degenerative diseases, and can neutralize and even reverse damage from virtually all toxins, venoms, and radiation. It's an interesting read, if nothing else, and I will read this out of the book. The Daily Need for Ultimate Antidote, and it says, much is made of the toxicity of our modern world. Frequently, we're told that still another substance in our surroundings has been linked to cancer, heart disease, Alzheimer's, or some other degenerative malady. There's mercury in your tuna, pesticides in your lettuce, hormones and antibiotics in your chicken, PCBs in your water, poisonous exhaust in the air that you breathe, cancer-causing UV light from the sun, and toxic chemicals, all with names that are too long to pronounce. In your clothes, on your carpet, in your car, your shampoo, and your deodorant. And it says that vitamin C has the proven ability to neutralize virtually any toxic substance and even the dangerous effects of radiation. Arguably, it is the safest substance on the planet. Therefore, it makes perfect sense that copious vitamin C supplementation should be part of everyone's defense against the daily onslaught of environmental toxins. Right now, I may have COVID-19. I said that at the opening of the show, but I'm going to try not to lose my mind and do what I do best, which is to take control of my health. You should see all the supplements I have that I've been taking just to, you know, cover this base and cover that base. But the main thing that I have been doing for everyone out there listening is trying not to lose my mind, first and foremost. Be sure I'm drinking a lot of water, because that Saturday that I told you about at the opening of the show when I didn't feel good and maybe I partied a little too much over the weekend, I mean, I literally danced till like 1 a.m. when maybe I should have gone to bed. I was hula hooping. I was doing everything. And, you know, just letting my hair down and just, you know, having some fun with myself. And but I didn't drink enough water, I don't think. Because I woke up in the middle of the night several times feeling very parched. And so that's a huge part of your immune system, is keeping your body well hydrated. We hear it all the time. But I think women are really more vulnerable than men, because mostly, well, I'm not saying that men don't go, 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 because men are a very important part of our world. And speaking of men, I've got Jared Ramirez on the line, and he is the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of TerraFlora, and a sponsor of One Life Radio. As I said, Enviromedica is a natural health and wellness company founded in 2007, inspired by nature and ancestral health. They make premium foundational products to support whole body nutrition and help people achieve optimal health. You can visit them at Enviromedica.com. Today with Jared, we are talking about the cartilage collagen connection. How are you doing today, Jared Ramirez?
I am doing fantastic today. How about you?
I'm good. You know, it's fun to ad lib once in a while and just, you know, free mic it, if you will. I always have lots that I'm reading, but sometimes it's a little difficult to share it on the air. You know, if I'm, you know, I'm on the radio, I understand that, and I like to talk, but I don't like to talk by myself. I like to talk with someone. That's when I think I do my best. And I love talking with you. And today, as I said, we're talking about the cartilage collagen connection. So what's the difference between cartilage and collagen?
So, well, cartilage is made up of collagen. I think, you know, the question is how do we support our cartilage with collagen? And you know, collagen is very, it's a very hot topic in the dietary supplement space. And just in terms of health and wellness in general, I think, you know, the collagen craze has, you know, been on fire for, I don't know, probably about 7-8 years. And it seems just seems to keep building speed. But, you know, therein, you know, there's a common misconception that, you know, most of the collagen supplements out there, you know, help all aspects of collagen building in the body. And it's, unfortunately, it's not true. You know, there's, most people are familiar with the kind of ready-to-drink mixable collagen peptides. You can put them in, you know, coffee, you can put them in water. So those are derived typically from either fish scales or bovine hides, and then they enzymatically process those so that they can disperse into water and dissolve into water. But those are only collagen types 1 and 3 that support skin and hair and nails. But there are other collagen types in the body, specifically collagen type 2, which supports your cartilage structures in your body.
Well, it is complicated, and it's really interesting too, by the way. And so can you explain the like supports like theory as it pertains to collagen and cartilage?
Sure. So, you know, the like supports like theory is based off of ancestral philosophies that effectively consuming, you know, an animal source type material will support that respective system or body part, right? So in the context of cartilage, if you, you know, basically if you look at the compounds that exist in cartilage from, from beef, right? So everybody makes bone broth and whatnot. Well, on the ends of those bones is cartilage, right? So part of that cartilage, everybody's familiar probably with glucosamine and chondroitin sulfate. Well, these compounds are known as glycosaminoglycans. I know it's a big word.
That is a big word.
it took. Don't feel bad. It took me a couple years of practice too. So.
Oh, good.
But basically, cartilage has these elements that are already naturally occurring, and in their correct physiologic ratios that support cartilage in the body. So again, using the like supports like theory. By consuming cartilage or bone broth or whatever it is that we're talking about, you can support those respective systems in the body.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, you know, what are the different types of collagen? Are all types good for, like, the hair, skin, and nails? You think of collagen, that's immediately what you think of, hair, skin, and nails. So are there more types than that?
There are, actually. So hair, skin, and nails are primarily collagen types 1 and 3, but there are other collagen types out there. There's type 2, type 5, type 10, and these all have various interactions in the body. But hair, skin, and nails is going to be your type 1 and type 3. And so, again, these are, you know, again, using this kind of like supports like theory, that's the basis for this, right? So, you know, you're basically bovine hide, fish scales. These are coming from, you know, basically the skin types of animals, and these will support your skin and hair and nails, respectively, when consumed in a supplement format.
Yeah. Does your body produce collagen naturally?
So collagen, yes, it does. So it does produce collagen, but it does need the right building blocks to do so. Okay, so
right. It's the right support system. Yeah,
correct. So collagen is basically a constellation of amino acids, right? That build collagen, right? So collagen is rich in a very specific amino acid called glycine. And so that glycine amino acid tends to be one of the limiting factors in production of collagen unless you're consuming collagen or other, you know, cartilage-like tissues and things like that from animal sources. So it's your body, yes, can make collagen, you know, just through consumption of protein, but typically you're not getting enough of very specific amino acid profiles in order to build collagen as efficiently as you would if you had a collagen supplement or source of collagen in your diet.
Yeah. Well, what is undernatured type 2 collagen, and how does it help with immunity? I don't know if you heard the opening of the show, but I may be COVID-19 positive. I don't know yet. I still haven't been able to get in. I have an appointment tomorrow to get tested, but, you know, I'm a little concerned about doing everything I possibly can to build my immune system as strong as it can be right now.
Oh, boy. I wasn't aware of that. That's, I hope things work out for you there.
But I sound good,
so,
right?
you sound amazing, yeah. do you have any symptoms?
Good. I have a little bit of swollen glands, and I had a sore throat on Sunday, but I think that was because I partied too much, quite truthfully, on Saturday night, because the sore throat was gone after a few hours. But, yeah, I just feel, you know, I don't know. I part of me says, no, you don't have it, Bernadette. You know, you're psyching yourself out. But because somebody very close to me tested positive, I have to at least, you know, take it seriously and certainly not contaminate anybody else. So I'm quarantined,
absolutely.
In other words. Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, we'll connect after your show here. I'd love to talk to you more about it. But to answer your question, so undenatured type 2 is actually a very so in the production of collagen to get basically to make this powder that dissolves in cold water or coffee or whatnot, they have to process it. Okay, in processing it, now there's different processing methods for it. Typically, it's enzymatically broken down into its respective peptides. When you do that, you denature the proteins, okay? And that's not a bad thing, right? So it still has functionality in the body. But in denaturing proteins, whether it be, you know, any protein for that matter, but in the context of collagen, when you denature these proteins, you actually lose some of the magic, right? And So when you process it in very specific ways, so for instance, freeze drying it or low temperature processing, you're able to preserve some of these, some of this magic. And the magic in this case is what's referred to as native collagen, undenatured collagen. And so collagen that's undenatured has a triple helical structure to it. And when you consume it in a supplement, there's some really interesting stuff that happens there where it works through a process called sensitization, where when you consume these, your gut, you have very specific immune cells in your gut that absorb these undenatured protein, collagen proteins, and it triggers a anti-inflammatory cascade in the body, and also upregulates the basically the repair of cartilage in the body. There's actually great research behind this, and so they've done studies in osteoarthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, excuse me, and they found pretty amazing outcomes from this where you know, cartilage can actually be rebuilt or at least halted in terms of the degradation.
Well, and I know that you're working with Dr. John Pruden around this subject of the undernatured type 2 collagen and immune health, and as well as some he's got some incredible research connected to bovine tracheal cartilage therapy that stopped the growth of cancer with continuous supplementation, and I could go on and on. It's on a post, a blog on your website, enviromedica.com. Could we talk about that for a moment?
Sure. Well, Dr. Pruden's actually long since deceased, so we don't actually work with him, but we do. I think his work is very relevant for this. So he did quite a few studies in the 50s and 60s using bovine tracheal cartilage that was processed in a very specific manner, and so he used it predominantly was for cancer therapy, immune therapy, and wound healing therapy. And the results from his work were pretty successful and quite quite intriguing in terms of the usage of these types of materials for those purposes. So it's still used today for those types of approaches. Obviously, you know, in the nutritional space, you know, we cancer is really just referred to as immune health, cellular health, and bovine tracheal cartilage does support immune health and cellular health overall.
Wow. It's fascinating, the science behind it. And there's so much we can learn from the past and the future of studying science and doing research. Anything else you want us to know about cartilage and the cartilage collagen connection before we go to break?
Well, just collagen in general, I think that it's important to intake multiple forms of collagen, not just from, say, fish and bovine hide sources, but in the form of cartilage. There's eggshell membrane as well on the market on various forms that support joint health and tissue health. So having a wide input from different sources of collagen, and the preferred source is going to be, of course, through bone broth and you know, nutrient-dense animal foods to begin with. So that would be my recommendation overall.
Yeah, and like the bone marrow, beef liver, and organ complex of bone marrow would be the one that's most appropriate in this application, or all three?
Well, so bone marrow does have a collagen component to it.
Right.
But our cartilage collagen is a pure bovine tracheal cartilage that's been freeze-dried from New Zealand. So that really is the, for a type 2 collagen supplement to support all the cartilage, basically cartilage-based tissues in the body, mm-hmm. knees, joints, things mm-hmm. like that, that's where you want to be.
Well, it's always great to talk with you. You're such a wealth of information, and so great to have you on the show again. We'll talk to you soon, Jared. You take care. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Bernadette.
Today.
Take
all
care.
Right. Thank you so much. That's Jared Ramirez, you guys. If you're just now joining us, he's the CEO of Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, and, of course, bone marrow, beef liver, and organ complex, all made by Enviromedica right here in Austin, Texas. We'll be right back. We've got DeJuan Bennett coming up. Great show continuing on. You're listening to One Life Radio. Back, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis, and we have DeJuan Bennett on the line with us. He's been a regular on the show for a while now. DeJuan is a licensed professional counselor with 2 master's degrees and over 12 years of counseling experience. He is currently living here in Dallas, Texas with his own practice, DeJuan Bennett Counseling. And as I said, in Dallas, Texas, he believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. You can find DeJuan on Instagram at DeJuan.Bennett_counseling or his website, PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. How are you doing today, DeJuan? Always good to have you on the show.
Always good to be on the show. I enjoy getting on here and talking with you. I hope that you're okay and you're taking care of yourself and that you come back with no COVID and you're able to just continue having the fun that you tend to do to make you feel good.
Well, you know what? I appreciate you saying that. I'm going to put up my best fight. And so far, I feel really good. So we'll see. It takes a lot to kick my ass. So we'll see what happens. And anyway, it's always great to have you on the show. It is. So, you know, protests are still going on, promoting Black Lives Matter. And they do, by the way. So while denouncing the actions of police officers, and are the protests, are they helping these causes, do you think? Are we finally getting some momentum and people really paying attention to what is going on in this country and how badly we need change?
I think they are, Bern, and I think when you look at it, we're not just seeing protests as far as people out walking around in the streets. You're seeing protests in people, places of employment. You're seeing athletes, student-athletes who are protesting. To see that the state of Mississippi is now going to change their state flag because of protests of an athlete, I think you're starting to see that, you know, protests are the voice of the unrest. So when you have people, particularly who are coming together from all walks of life, different ethnicities, different ages, who are coming together for one cause, it lets America know that this is a serious thing and that everyone cares about it and that it's not just limited to just Black people.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, sometimes you've got to do crazy stuff to get people's attention. I think often of PETA and Ingrid Newkirk, you know, who's been criticized so much over the years, you know, they would go up and, you know, some of the activists would, you know, spray glue on fur coats and stuff like that to get people's attention because, you know, I don't believe that two rights make two wrongs make a right, but I do believe sometimes you really have to stand up and stand your ground in order to get people to listen. And so, you know, and I really believe that Black Lives Matter, that is what this is all about. So what ways or other ways can people help besides protesting. You know, some people are kind of scared to protest, especially with the uptick of the COVID cases surrounding, you know, or I should say all over this country. So what are some other things that people can do to help out?
And I think you're right. I think you're going to find a large group of people who that's not the way in which they want to fight this battle. They're not out there protesting. So I always tell people, educate yourself on the movement. One of the first things important to know is why, what's going on with this movement? Why are people protesting? What does Black Lives Matter actually mean? Not what the media has told you, but what does it actually mean? They have a website and they kind of allow you to understand what that means, to educate yourself. Then work on your own habits and beliefs. I think make sure you're not doing anything to contribute to the problem. Stand up to racism. Mm-hmm. What I always tell people is silence is compliance. Like if you're silent and when you see things that are happening with racism or bigotry, you're kind of allowing it to happen. Get involved in your local meetings and gatherings, whether it's a Black Lives Matter movement or just people in your community getting together out on their lawns to talk about it, and make sure you're offering them a perspective of education and kind of togetherness. Also, take action within your own community. A lot of times, people who want to get involved in a social justice movement can do the most effective work within their own community. Not necessarily the communities where the Blacks and the Latinos live, but in your own community. And having those conversations with your neighbors and things like that go a long way. And then, too, look at your companies that you work for and the companies that you own, and look at, you know, your diversity and inclusion policies, as well as your racial equality as far as hiring policies, and see what ways you can make changes in that way.
Yeah, well, and, you know, and the media is very guilty of this. You know, it's got a very short attention span. They always go with what the hottest story is. You keep everything, you know, keep their ratings up, so to speak. But how do we keep race at the top of the mind with the media?
I think it's important for everyone to understand that this is a civil rights issue. The rights of citizens to political and social freedom and equality. And so as long as we recognize that a lot of times what you see in history, even what we've seen with the civil rights movement in the 60s, is once you lift up and elevate the freedoms of Black people, then other minority groups are directly affected as well. You see freedoms with women. You see freedoms with other people of color. You see freedoms with people in the LGBTQ community. So if you recognize that, if we're saying that Black people are at the bottom of the totem pole as far as accessibility and people who care, if you raise up the bottom or the floor by making sure that Black people have a sense of equality, you're making sure everyone else is better as well. So I think that we have to be sure to recognize that this is not just a movement, it's a civil rights movement. It's for people to feel as if they're right and there's a sense of equality.
No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, it's a trickle down from the top. Absolutely. It absolutely is. In any business, any country, it is the attitude of the leaders that lead the country many, many times, or at least infiltrate it. But, you know, some white Americans say they want to help, but they really don't know what to do or say because they are white. So what advice can you give to them out there listening?
I say talk to your kids and family members about it. I think if you kind of start within your own home and you start those conversations, then what you're doing is you're allowing people who are like-minded and people who maybe want to know more but feel uncomfortable talking about it within the confines of their own home or their own family, where they feel most secure with being vulnerable and having those open discussions. I think start there, because I think that at the end of the day, and I've been telling some moms this, if we're saying that one of the problems in America can be white male privilege, then remember who are raising these white males, and let's make sure that as mothers, we're doing a good job of raising our children the right way, the same way that I employ Black mothers to make sure that they're raising their children the right way, and Hispanic mothers and Asian mothers. Make sure we're raising our men, our young men, to have a sense of humanity and make sure that they're taking care and loving their brothers.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. And, you know, I know you have a group of, you have two police officers, two including yourself, you're a shrink, another shrink, Black. These are all Black men, right, that are professionals that you're gathering together. You've done two episodes, if you will, or discussions on social media. How are those going? And are you finding any resolution to problems that that the movement Black Lives Matter are dealing with? Any sort of solutions through the conversations that you're having?
you know what, Bern, it's crazy because the guys that I get on and talk conversations with, these are kind of essentially my brothers, my family, my best friends. We've been trained for, you know, over 20 years, and it's conversations that we normally typically have without an audience in a sense. But what we wanted to do was we wanted to start talking about the things that we discuss openly so people can understand kind of how we feel and our perspectives. And I think it's got a lot of support because you have I have a lot of white friends and colleagues who have reached out and said, hey, what can we do? And what I continue to tell people to do is make sure you're educating yourself. If there's anything that's important, it's educating yourself on the racial biases that you may have. And also make sure we're having those difficult conversations. Difficult conversations lead to change. The more we're talking about things that are difficult that people don't want to hear, the more essentially they recognize that these things are important and there needs to be something different that needs to happen. Oh,
absolutely. You can't fix it unless you can address it first. And we're going to have more conversation about this. The changes that need to be made are not just within the police department, but in every aspect of government. More coming up with DeJuan Bennett. Continuing on here, One Life Radio. We'll be right back.
You get a shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park. Sound of the river, you stop and you hold everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double fall time. You feel alright when you hear the music ring.
You get a feeling sometimes, DeJuan. Everyone, welcome back to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Ronaldo Davis and DeJuan Bennett. And DeJuan has been on the show for a very long time. He is a licensed professional counselor with two master's degrees and over 12 years of counseling experience. He currently has his own practice, DeJuan Bennett Counseling, here in Dallas, Texas. And he believes that the key to mental and behavioral success is the ability to master self-awareness and emotional control. You can find DeJuan on Instagram at DeJuan.Bennett_counseling. Or his website, PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. You know, one of the questions that I have been dying to bring up, and I just went to a website during the break. I pulled it up, WUSA9. It's a CBS affiliate. And this is something that I wanted to talk with you about. Hold on, I lost it again. Okay, so here it is. Okay, so it says here that, and they're talking about the far right, that one of their often used talking points is black-on-black crime. If we were playing a game of spades, this would be their big joker, the ultimate winning play. But it's just misdirection, a verbal sleight of hand used to distract from the issues or to derail the conversation. Would you agree with that?
I would agree. I would agree. I think that if you look at crime statistics, it will show you that black-on-black crime exists simply as a kind of propaganda to make people believe that, you know, black people are just out here killing black people. And yes, studies may show statistically that 89% of African-Americans are killed by African-Americans. It's also 84% of whites are killed by whites. And what that really means mm-hmm. is it's about proximity, right? People are more likely to assault and kill people that they know. So if you are black and you live in an inner city surrounded by black people, you're going to know more black people. So when something happens, it's likely to happen to people you know. The same applies to white. I think it's the thing that they try to use to kind of deflect or try to redirect the attention of the argument instead of recognizing mm-hmm. that what we're saying with Black Lives Matter is we're saying Black Lives Matter. We're also saying, yes, White Lives Matter. Blue Lives Matter, mm-hmm. but what we're also saying, you cannot have, and I always ask people this, you cannot say to me all lives matter if you're not willing to say Black Lives Matter, because anyone right. in Black Lives Matter will tell you, yes, blue lives, yes, brown lives, we all matter, in recognizing mm-hmm. that we just want the same punishments that happen to the people that happen to us. If I was to hurt another black man, I'm going to jail. But unfortunately, we fear that if a white man was to hurt me, he will find a way to get off. And that's where a lot of this stems from, is that we want people punished to commit crimes.
It's called justice, something this country was founded on. But, you know, right before the break, and we've only got about, you're only going to have about a minute to speak after I finish. But, you know, I said before the break that the changes that need to be made are not just with the within the police department, but in every aspect of government. So how do we begin to wrap our heads around this concept of changing our entire government system? Is that really what's needed?
I think a radical revolution is needed. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about not only political, but social changes as well as moral biases, right? And what you're looking at is the way people feel about Black people, or the way people feel about race in general, and the way that they understand racism and how it's used, whether it's from a privilege standpoint or from a just kind of microaggression standpoint, and being able to say that that's wrong. I think we've done great within, we're making progress within the LGBT community to make sure that when people say certain things or they do certain things that are against people who are LGBTQ, that is punished, right? It is called out and made wrong. And I think the same thing that we need to happen within our social justice movement is, see something, say something. If you feel that your company is not hiring Black people, but 30% of the Black people in the workforce, but you have none in leadership, say something. If you see an officer who is mistreating Black kids, say something. If you see a neighbor who is, making signs around their house or hanging up dolls of Black people hung from trees, say something. Don't just ignore the issue. Start to say something and make it cool to say something.
That is just incredible ignorance, just picturing that in my head. Like, I just, it just sends chills down my spine, as it should everyone out there listening. Dewan, I always love having you on the show. Thank you so much. You're a leader and someone that we all can look up to. And thank you so much for the work that you're doing to just bring awareness to racial equality. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, brother. And you are my brother. Dewan Bennett, everyone. Check him out at PrestonPlaceCounseling.com. He's amazing. Everyone, thank you so much for listening. I'll keep you updated tomorrow on the COVID-19 thing. And everyone, stay safe, wash your hands, and just be careful out there and take your vitamin C. I know I'm going to, because I only get one body, one mind, and one life, and I want to live it to the fullest. So you do it too. Talk to you tomorrow.